This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Say good morning to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com for details. Good morning, Coach Carbs. How are you?
Very well. Good morning, guys.
Good, good. Thanks for waking up extra early out on the West Coast. That is much appreciated.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked to you since the one-trick pony controversy erupted last week.
Yeah, get him in the dirt. Get him in the dirt.
And, Coach, we know that you're paid to coach the Washington Capitals, not to comment on what broadcasters have to say about your team and your players. But I'm sorry, when Darren Pang takes a swipe at the greatest player to ever wear a Washington Capitals sweater, like, the fans certainly responded. We as media responded. What was your reaction to those comments during the Caps-Rangers game, which, by the way, was a Caps win at Madison Square Garden? Just want to point that out.
So I still haven't heard the comments from Panger, but read about them, and then I think it's because we sort of get to know some of the commentary people that do it along the lines. Like, we talked to them before the game, they asked for information, this and that. So he actually sort of clarified it with one of our assistant coaches, Kirk Muller, who he has a relationship with. And he was like, that it came out totally wrong. I didn't mean it like that. So I think it was just one of those moments on live TV where he's sort of trying to explain something and it didn't come across very clearly. I know Darren Pang, good dude, respects the hell out of OV. So I think it was just a sort of came out wrong situation of the way that...
You guys are too nice. I'd send Willie over there and beat his ass. That's what I'd do.
No, he's a good man. He's a good man.
All right.
Well, he was definitely setting up video. And it was highlighting that you've put him in different situations. But as EB has said, you don't throw a term out like one-trick pony with any intention but to diminish somebody.
I mean, you just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where, like, you know, the using that phrase when it comes to Ovi, especially because he has scored so much from one spot, so now all of a sudden your antennas are up. Like, yeah. Is that meant to say that he can only score in one way? And I think he was trying, and this is what he explained to Kirk, was he was trying to articulate that he's actually been scoring in different ways this year and right. Actually not scoring as much as he used to from the left elbow on the power play. And I don't think it came out in the most clean way.
So, especially given what's happened recently, why can't a guy like Protas, why can't he get into the power play?
It's a good question. Really good. And I'll tell you why. So, 2 weeks ago, we actually decided, you know what, it's time. Pro has earned the opportunity to get on the power play. We got to work him on here. He's having a phenomenal year. He's one of our best offensive players. We have to get him out there and utilize him on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
We did that, and the reason that we hadn't done it earlier and the reason that we ended up going away from it pretty quickly after two games is Pro has done such an amazing job this year with his conditioning and his ability to play 17, 18 minutes of quality 5-on-5 and penalty kill minutes. He's done an amazing job, and he worked really hard this summer to get himself, because it was an issue last year, him being able, because he's such a big guy and he skates so well, but he needs to play with a lot of pace. He needs that because he's so dominant as a big man when he's skating and moving his feet. So he has grown so much in that department over the summer to this year. Okay. So we were very reluctant to add minutes to him and put him on the power play because we felt like it would take away from what he's done at such a high level, 5-on-5 and penalty kill. And when we did that, the two games that, and again, like, Pro's going to play on the power play. It's only a matter of time. It's just right now we really feel like utilizing him 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill, and with how he's played this year, we just want him to focus on that and not overload him so that it's taken away from his 5-on-5 and penalty kill, if that makes any sense.
We're joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. So we should give a hat tip to Pro for his first hat trick that he got against the Ducks. So that's great. But I couldn't believe, I think it was in the game prior, where Pro's brother, Ilya, who's also a draft pick of the Capitals, was in attendance because he had a break from the Windsor Spitfires. That's a great name, by the way. I love that team name. When they flashed his stats, I had to do like a triple take, coach. Like, I couldn't, I kept looking at the screen. I was like, 58 games played, 46 goals, and 66 assists.
Pretty good.
112 points in 58 games played. And yeah, we've heard you talk about it and Pro talk about it, where Pro is like, he's like, my brother's just better than I am. He's just a more skilled offensive player. So you just have to be licking your chops to get your hands on this guy as he develops, because he's going to be up with the big club sooner rather than later if he keeps putting up numbers like that.
Well, I think Big Pro, too, is he's really going to make it difficult with the season that he's having on Little Pro. Big shoes to fill, but he's having a phenomenal year, and he's caught the junior hockey circuit by surprise, because you don't see, or it's very rare for a player that's picked in the third round of the NHL draft to be as dominant as he is and have the season that he's had in the OHL, which is one of the best junior leagues in the world. So that, and the season that he's had and his growth and progression, we're really excited about him in the organization. And there's a reason, right? It's him. We know Pro so well, and we've gotten to see his development path over the last 5 years. And so you feel really, really comfortable drafting a sibling and feeling like he's going to reach his max potential. And he's off to a real good start in his junior career in the OHL.
So, Coach Carberry, I stumbled on a statistic that I wanted to ask you about. You guys are second in the league in third period goals, and you did it again in the latest contest with 4 goals in the third period. What is it about the third period? Are you just great at making adjustments? I'm sure you want to have better starts. Explain what's happening here in the third period.
I think that's where majority of nights, whatever's gone on in the first and second period, I feel like standing on the bench and after what's gone on in the first and second and some of the adjustments that we've made or some of the things that we've talked about as a group, I think that's the 20 minutes where our guys really, really buckle down, and you see the true, and I've talked about this a lot this year, the true character of our group shows in flying colors. And that's really all it is the third period, the game is on the line. That's when the game is essentially decided, whether it's tied, whether we're up a goal, whether we're trailing by one, whatever the scenario on the scoreboard, you're going to see our character come out and how badly our guys want to win and get the job done in all these different situations on the ice. And so that's, I think it's just a stat that reflects how badly our guys want to deliver and get the job done, essentially.
So, Coach, Pierre-Luc Dubois, ho-hum, another three-point night in Anaheim, just standard fare for him. He reaches the 40-assist mark for the first time in his career. Do you laugh at some of like what the pundits were saying when you acquired Luc Dubois, that this guy's going to wear out his welcome? I can't believe what the Caps are paying this guy to bring him in, and he's been a revelation.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in the Anaheim game. And he has been all year, and I don't know. I don't really look back, because I didn't know either. You know, I've seen him coached against him. Obviously, we did a lot of homework before the trade. But you still don't know. Like, I don't know how it's going to go. I've never met him, so I don't know. But once he got to Washington, even early in training camp, that's maybe the one thing that was a little bit different than other trades or players that you coach. Like, I had a feeling and knew very, very early on that this is going to work really well for our organization and for our team, because of just the work ethic, his commitment, the conversations having of his path and how motivated he was and all the different things, the skill set, watching film with him and then seeing him in training camp and through. I was really, really confident early on that Doobie was going to be a really, really successful player for our team this year.
And Coach, another cool thing about that deal is on the other side, the Caps sent Darcy Kuemper to the Kings to get Luc Dubois here. And this is one of those rare trades where both parties seem to have won. Luc Dubois has been awesome here in Washington, and Darcy Kuemper has resurrected things in L.A., and that's your next opponent. He's second in the league in goals against at 2.29. He's 91.5% save percentage. So, like, yeah, he's really rebounded, while Luc Dubois has paid huge dividends here as well.
Yeah, and those are, honestly, as a coach, it's sort of weird to say this, because we always, you know, I look at other sports, and like, when you evaluate trades, you want someone to win a trade. You want someone to, and you know, it's healthy debate and good conversation. But when I'm looking at it, I'm happy for Kemp, having coached him, having known the person, and he's having a great year. And you're exactly right. It's both teams benefited. And that's, whether it's a change of scenery or needs, and that, I think, goes in, they needed a goaltender. We really needed a top six centerman. It worked for both sides. It's the same thing with the Jacob Chychrun, Nick Jensen trade. Nick Jensen's been great for the Ottawa Senators. They needed more of a stay-at-home defensive guy. We needed an offensive guy that could run a power play, get up in the rush, use his skating, had a great shot. It worked for both sides. So a couple of really good examples of trades being able to help both teams in those situations.
Coach Carberry, last one for you. Does the President's Trophy mean something to you? Is it something that you're chasing? So it's either going to be you guys or Winnipeg, I guess. And what happens if it's a tie in points at the end of the season? Do you split the trophy? Like, what happens?
Good question.
Let me answer for you. It doesn't mean anything. We've won them a million times. It never helped us. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't think, I've never mentioned it one time, haven't really thought about it, don't know the tiebreaker.
Yeah, right.
Don't really care.
Yeah, I honestly...
I mean, there's some pride in it, obviously, but beyond that, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, like, we want to, it's not going to change our mindset of, like, we want to go out and win as many games as we possibly can and play well till game 82, and so if that means that we finish with the best record, great. We would love that, because, you know, we're going to try to play well in these last, whatever we've got, 15 games left or 17 games left. But I don't think it's like something that we're talking about or a goal or achievement of, hey, we want to get to this. It's that's not something that's on the table for us.
Coach Carberry, again, thanks for carving out some time on that West Coast swing. Best of luck with the remaining two games, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Have a great week, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
That's Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care, centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com for more details. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. Thanks again to...
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Carberry for joining us as the Caps are on that West Coast swing. Not to be greedy, but Ovi not scoring against Anaheim, I think that helps me potentially see the record-breaking goal April 6th in New York.
Now, how disappointing it'll be for you if you make this trip, you spent this money,
yeah.
You go up there, and let's say he's still 3 goals short.
Right.
And he doesn't even score.
Oh, that's me. A Hattie on the island. Oh, I mean, if he
I guess you'll have a sweat, so it'll make it exciting. Sweat.
Look, it'll still be a fun trip no matter what. Like going to see the Caps play. Two of my kids will be along for the ride. It'll be a fun time nonetheless.
Bonding experience, of course.
But, I mean, if I get to see the tying goal and or the record-breaking goal, it's fantastic. Now, that is me being greedy because it's better for him to break it at home. Let's be honest. It's better for him to break it at Capital One Arena in front of the home fans, in front of Caps fans. But if he breaks it on the road, he might as well do it on April 6th in Long Island.
I listened to that Neil Greenberg interview yesterday on B. Mitch and Finley, and he gave the odds, like the most likely spots for him to break the record. And I think he went with both home games. Like there was a gap. And I was like, that's kind of interesting.
Right.
Like almost that, I don't know if he's predicting that Ovi would just try and play it like that.
No, he's... If he has an opportunity to score goals, he's not going to think, well, am I going to do this at home or on the road? He's going to score the goals wherever.
But right. I did find it interesting a couple weeks ago when Eric asked him if they would have a conversation about empty netters.
Right.
And Carberry said that he would.
Yeah. No, they're going to once they get down to it.
Once you get close.
Yeah, no, no, that's a Valdez thing. You can't give me credit. That's a Valdez thing. Maybe Drabby, too. I hadn't thought about it that closely. But, yeah.
It's,
so, again.
It's not. I'm not against empty netters. It's just the tying, not so much, but the breaking, record-breaking goal cannot be an empty netter because that video will just live on.
Right, and you don't want that.
You can't have that.
That's bad optics. I agree 1,000%. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll continue to track Ovi tonight as they have a late-night puck drop, 10 p.m. against the L.A. Kings.
Coach Carberry also doesn't seem too pressed about the President's Trophy.
No, he couldn't care less about it. He didn't even know
the tie-breaking rules.
It means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing.
In the grand scheme of things.
And we know it means nothing.
I know, but there used to be a period of time where cakes like the division banners.
That's because we were losers.
The Caps hadn't won the Stanley Cup yet,
right,
JP.
Right.
I would take any dumb banner we could hang at Capital One Arena because we didn't have the Stanley Cup.
As Bo Bice said, it's all about the real thing.
Yeah, now we've got Bo Bice is the real thing. Now we don't need to worry about the paltry Metropolitan Division Championship banners.
Right. Is that two Bo Bice references this week?
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, Valdez needs to play it. I don't know why he hasn't played it yet. Hopefully
love that
it's on the next rejoiner. All right, we wanted to get into the Commanders again. Are they trending too old? If you look and see all of the moves, the free agency moves, along with the trades, I've broken it down because, yes, hello, I'm a math wizard. I can do basic math. I added up all of the free agency signings ages, divided them by the number.
Right. What'd you come up with?
Here are the guys that have been signed.
But then you need to compare it to the league average or something.
No, I haven't done all that. I'm just laser focused in on the Commanders.
All right.
So they re-signed Zach Ertz. He's 34. They bring in Will Harris. He's 29. They re-signed John Bates. He gets a 3-year deal. He's 27. They ink Javon Kinlaw. He's 27 as well. Wagner re-signs for 1 year. He's 34. Jonathan Jones is 31. Jeremy McNichols, they re-sign him to the running back room. He's 29. Mariota's 31, as is Eddie Goldman, the big defensive lineman they signed yesterday. Dietrich Wise is 30.
Mm-hmm.
So those signings have an average age of 30.3 years.
Right.
You did all that work?
I did.
I had an article which said that the average age was 30. It's good that you did all the adding.
I got it down to an exact decimal point.
I didn't have the 0.3, but I saw that it was 30.
And then when you throw in Debo and Tunsil, Debo's 29, Tunsil is 30.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a veteran-laden roster.
Right.
Are they too old is the number.
No.
800-636-1067.
No.
Are they trending too old?
Like, I think the fact of the matter is at the NFL level, first of all, your average career is so short.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much turnover from year to year that you're going to have your core and then you have your fill-ins. And this group, obviously, and probably most teams, like to have their fill-ins be veteran guys. I don't think that they did anything outrageous where, like, at a position where the age is out of whack for what is sort of typical. You know, it's not like they have a 34-year-old running back.
Right.
I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're signing these guys to one-year deals, especially these older fill-in guys. And you're going to have Jaden and you know, really Terry's kind of getting up there. You'll have Terry for a few more years. And then you're going to have your one-year fill-in guys.
I mean, Valdez wants to
really
spike the average age by signing Calais Campbell. Like, he's 38.
Right.
But he's still, look, at 38, he's still productive.
Yeah.
He's still a good player in the league.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I think you got to go on a case-by-case basis, right? Why did that average go up of the additions you brought up? Well, mostly from Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner.
Ertz and Bobby Wagner, really.
And Bobby Wagner was second-team All-Pro this year. Mm-hmm. Zach Ertz was phenomenal this year based on the expectations. Scored 7 touchdowns.
He was
had 11 catches in the NFC Championship game.
Just a big-time target.
And he played in all of the games. Most people thought, all right, there's a veteran, but they drafted Sinnott. It's only a matter of time before Sinnott takes over. Well, Ertz wouldn't let him because he was that productive.
Right.
So are those guys too old? It's not like they sign him to 4-year deals. The rest of the guys are kind of in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like Debo Samuel's in his prime. This should be his prime. Has he slowed down from his Pro Bowl season a couple years ago? Sure. But as Jason would say, there are reasons. The offense in San Francisco was compromised this year with all the injuries, and so Debo's production went down. I don't know if Tunsil. That's
is 29 prime. Your prime. I feel like that's just cresting over. Like you've just reached your prime.
It depends on how you keep yourself.
You might be on the downhill slope.
It depends on how you keep yourself. I'd say it's an individual thing, and I think it's position specific.
Yeah, I think 29. You might say it's late prime, but I think it's prime for an offensive lineman.
For a quarterback's prime.
Trent Williams still getting it done.
Skill
and he's beyond
players,
that age.
A little past prime.
What is?
Just for skill position guys, like wideouts and RBs, peak, it's a little bit past your prime.
Peak position for wide receivers is 26 to 27, according to most analysis.
There you go. Past prime.
For who?
Debo is past his prime.
You know that with Debo. You see it.
I guess. But I think he's...
But again, it's a one-year kick the tires on Debo and see what he's got.
It's position specific.
Right. And again, he's not making $75 million over 3 years.
I don't think they signed Debo thinking he's going to have that year he had 3 years ago.
No, probably not.
Tunsil's, I don't think anybody in the building thinks he'll do that.
Tunsil's 29, right?
He is 30.
He's 30. Okay, Trent Williams is 36 and is still at the top of his game.
Again,
I think for an offensive line,
specific.
You're fine. If you want to be a little nervous about a wide receiver, sure, you can say 27 is the prime. But if that's the peak year, but I would say the prime is, you know, a 5 or 6 year stretch.
You can be super productive at 29 at receiver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In my opinion.
I think if Debo gave the Commanders 75 to 80% of what he did in 2021, they would be thrilled. They'd be thrilled, and they'd be ready to sign him to an extension.
Of course.
I think in a perfect world, everyone just envisions everyone getting drafted together, like within, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of one another, and having a young nucleus and then signing them, just because it's harder to kind of go to the free agency store and kind of piece a team together.
Right. No, 100%.
I think that's why some people are not mad, but just raising an eyebrow as to the team's age.
Well, they've only had one draft with this group.
Yeah, so I know. In the perfect world,
I think in 3 years will be your way. I think that's the goal. I think what you're describing is perfect, but I think it's unrealistic to think they would have that now because we just had a bum in there, right? We had a bunch of bums.
Yeah, until those 3 years happen,
you're going to have to do this.
You're going to have to do this, and it's just harder to do every year.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a lot harder.
Here's the issue. The Commanders are going to be one of the oldest teams in the NFL next year. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's shaping up, and they have limited draft picks. So it is going to be concerning. It could be an issue. It's not going to be an issue right now, but in 2 years, when you haven't replenished that pool, and
we'll see. I think they're going to get more draft picks. They're going to be lower, but I think they're going to trade down.
Less, more, you know, odds are you're taking less impactful players.
Hey, I will say I just looked at the ages of the top 10 receivers in the NFL last season.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty incredible. Ja'Marr Chase, 25.
Right.
Justin Jefferson, 25.
Youngins.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Like 23?
22.
22. Got it.
Drake London, also under 25, 23 years old. You can keep going
Malik
down
Neighbors,
the list.
Probably on that list.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, number 5, 25. Jerry Jeudy was 6th, 25. You keep going down the list. It's incredible. Malik Neighbors, rookie, younger than 25. CeeDee Lamb, 25. Brock Bowers, rookie, younger than 25. Ladd McConkey, rookie, younger than 25. You got to go all the way down to the 13th leading receiver in the NFL to find somebody
that
older
list,
than 29.
That list you're giving, that makes Debo sound like a dinosaur because he's 4 years clear of basically most of those guys.
Let's see what happens.
7 years clear of guys like Brian Thomas
Again,
Jr.
He plays a different style. He's not a guy that's like just going to race you down the field.
But he also plays a physical bruising
style. Physical style.
Which, as you start getting to 30, 31, those bumps and bruises that kept you out a week or 2 weeks, they might keep you out a month or 6 weeks.
Now, he's the same age as Terry McLaurin, and Terry McLaurin was fantastic last year. Terry McLaurin's 29. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I had never really looked at it. The top 13 guys or top 12 guys are all 25 or younger, and then George Kittle comes in at 13th at 31 years old.
Are the Commanders trending too old? 800-636-1067 is the number. The average age of their free agent signings in 2025 is 30.3. Is that too old for your liking? what Adam Peters is doing.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. I can't even read. My eyes are dying. Let's go to Patrick in Spotsylvania. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, morning, guys. We definitely are trending too old. The problem is that, you know, when you look between like a team like Philly that just builds cornerstone after cornerstone through the draft, like, you know, those years with Ron whiffing on first, second round picks is going to come back to bite us, right? So, I mean, this past draft, it shows that Adam Peters and the crew can, you know, get cornerstones of the franchise. You know, Jaden Daniels, Sandersteel, Coleman, you know, hopefully Sennett. But we don't really have too many cornerstones, you know, for the franchise that are young pieces, right? For a while, we relied on the cornerstones like John Allen, Payne,
yeah,
and Terry. But those guys,
you need a new,
you know,
breed. Yeah, it's going to take a few years. I think it's to Valdez's point. They're going to have to Band-Aid this thing for a couple years. It's clearly what they're doing. And then, you know, hopefully in 3 or 4 years after all these draft classes pile up, they've got a little foundation.
How many Rivera guys are left?
There's so much turnover in the league.
How many Rivera guys are left? Because they lost, thank you for your call, they lost St. Juice yesterday.
Well, John Bates drafted him in the third round. They re-signed him.
They lost Derek Forrest,
right,
who they drafted.
Goes to the Bills.
I mean,
I don't know that they lost those guys. They dropped them off at the mall and drove off.
Okay, but my point is, of the Ron Rivera four drafts, how many remain? You're naming Bates, Cosme.
Right. I mean, I can't.
Probably missing a couple others, but.
I can't think of that many that are still remaining. Payne,
did he draft Payne?
Well, it doesn't matter, but he was from that era.
No, I just mean who he drafted in 4 years.
I mean, we already know.
I'm guessing it's a shockingly low number.
It's covered ground that they were terrible at drafting.
Last year in the playoffs, the Commanders were the oldest playoff team with 28 at the average of 28 years in 1 month. And the 16 players they've signed this offseason are 30.3.
Look, they like Peters likes veteran players.
I know.
Until the younger players, outside of Jaden, develop.
I understand it. They're going for a Lombardi. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, but it is concerning. Older guys get more banged up. They miss more time. It's just the way it works. I mean, it is a little concerning that you don't have young guys to replace them.
It's a concern, but it's also the reason he's handing out mostly 1 year deals around $5 or $6 million per.
How it's going to be?
He's not spending a lot of money. Like, he's just kind of trying to fill in those gaps around the edges.
But why isn't he not spending that money that he has on longer deals with prime players in their prime, on their second contract?
He doesn't like them.
Maybe he's saving
Everybody said it's a trash class.
Maybe he's saving it for Trey Hendrickson.
They said it's a trash class.
Could be.
I mean, the best free agent was Sam Darnold?
But the window is now. Well, you have Jaden on
okay, but you can't just give money just because the guy's young. You just gotta be smart, and if the guy doesn't fit your profile, then you're just gonna go with a vet for a 1 year Band-Aid.
He's doing
that's
what
not
he,
ideal.
He's doing
Don't say
what
it's
he can.
Ideal.
He's doing what he can to try to just shore up one of their glaring weaknesses, stopping the run. It's why he signed Kinlaw to the biggest deal of all the free agents outside of Tunsil, but he was a trade, and they added big bodies like Goldman on the interior. That's his focus during free agency, from the looks of it, and he's just working on the periphery for some of these other deals.
They're band-aiding it the next couple years. It is what it is. And you may whiff on all of them. That's the problem when you add so many, like, sort of. And a lot of these guys have checkered histories, too. They're not like they're perfect guys. They all have warts.
How old is my guy Noah Brown? Is he going to bring that number down? I think he might be like 29.
Oh, he's getting up there.
He's not
let's
young.
Go. Let's go to Brendan. Brendan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
29.
Yep.
The only reason why we're old is because Ron Rivera, one, can't draft. We all know that. But also, look at the Trent Williams trade. We got, like, one of the last picks in the third round for Trent. That's just ridiculous. But I'm okay with signing 30- and 31-year-olds because next year is all about going for a Super Bowl. The next 2 years, we have a window where Jaden's barely making a lot of money in NFL standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, though, that's where you go after that Super Bowl. Not like they're not going to go after it when they re-sign him, but that's your window. So I'm okay with that. The offense is set. We need one more kind of receiver, kind of depth receiver, like a Oz or something like that. So, and what we need on defense, pass rush and a corner. So you need two pieces, whether you get it in the, you know, here with free agents or trade or the draft. If they can bring in a pass rusher and a corner, not a depth corner, but an actual, starting corner, then I feel like we're ready to roll. For
Brendan,
the next
thank
year.
You. Thank
healthy,
you. Thank you. Good call. Thank you, buddy.
We'll continue to take your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines next at 800-636-1067. Do you like Adam Peters' plan when it comes to free agency? He's signing the Greybeards, 30-year-old club here in Washington, D.C. 800-636-1067. We'll take more of your calls next. It's your pal Cakes here. Looking to upgrade your office game? Well, then swing by PVI Office Furniture, where we've got everything you need to take your workspace from the bench to the big leagues. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play when it comes to comfort, PVI has got the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories too. Mention me, Cakes, and you score 15% off your in-store purchase. So don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today and elevate your workspace like a true champion. PVI Office Furniture, where productivity nets you that hat trick. Visit us at PVI.com because business grows with PVI. Taking your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, are the Commanders trending too old? The average age of the free agent signing in 2025 is 30.3. The big swings trade-wise, Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. Debo's 29, Tunsil is 30. Does that concern you as a Commanders fan? You have worries about that.
On a case-by-case basis, I'm not. I guess if you look at it from afar and you go, oh, wow, it's an old team. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I grant you that. I just think it's why this is what they got to do. I mean, I guess they could have signed younger depth guys, but I'm assuming that they signed these guys because they think they're the better ones,
right,
the better fits. I don't know. I just know that a lot of people have kind of made fun of this free agency class. I don't think there were a lot of great, great options. Now, how old is Trey Hendrickson if they actually pulled that off?
I think he's 29 or 30. I'll have to double check how old he is.
So he
maybe he's
even,
a little bit younger than
I thought
that.
I thought he was maybe 27.
He could be. He could be a bit younger.
Yeah. All right, let's bring out some of these calls as you look that up. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up, man? You're on with the Jucks.
He's 30.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank
what's
you
up?
For taking my call.
Hey, Mo.
Yeah. I like where we're headed. I believe they're raising the floor. We're bringing in guys with proven championship pedigree. I believe we've solidified the second corner spot. We've added speed to the safety position. We've added size and mobility to the defensive line. It allows us to be aggressive with the first pick to acquire an edge rusher. Second pick can be a wide receiver because we can shop for toys now. I like where we're headed. And at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at the track record for the last season, it's been working. So to think that it won't continue to work, there's no reason for that. I mean, I trust in Peters, and I like where we're headed.
Well, I guess the argument would be, Mo, listen, I'm kind of with you, but I guess the argument would be, well, anytime you sign older guys, there's more of an inherent risk. They're older, take a little longer to recover, you know, et cetera. You might be a little bit more vulnerable to, you know, the wear and tear injuries have taken their toll on you, right?
I believe that's more of a perceived notion from past experiences, but I believe medicine is changing along with the preparation of today's athlete to where they can stay healthier for longer periods of time.
You might be right. I tell that to Tiger Woods, though. Right? Freaking dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah, healthy. Right. By the way,
thank you,
part
Mo.
Of the reason why
thank
Adam
you,
Peters has so much work to do, and I may be off by one or two players, but I don't think so. I think this number is pretty accurate. From Ron's four total classes, it looks like only six players remain.
Six.
Six total.
Out of how many guys he drafted?
I mean, it looks like
roughly 28.
Way more
all right,
than 20.
So do me a favor, though, because context is everything. Do the Eagles during the next commercial break. And do their last, because just context.
Yeah.
So in their last four drafts or whatever, in the same era,
mm-hmm.
Because there is so much turnover in the league, it's hard for my brain to.
There is, but like.
To wrap myself
around
that. I mean,
you should
that.
Have one player left from your 2020 class. They don't have any.
Yeah.
They don't have a single one.
So who's left? We mentioned
suck,
a couple.
Yeah. But B-Rob, I don't know how bad they suck.
Well, B-Rob's another one.
Here we go. In 2021, the remaining two are Cosme and, or he might be, Cosme and Bates.
Cosme
remain
and Bates.
From 20 and 21. From 2022, two also remain. B-Rob and Percy Butler.
Draft, can you do that for me as a favor for context? Can you look at the Eagles in the same time frame, just for context?
And in 2023, Quan Martin and Chris Rodriguez are the only that remain.
How
from
many?
2023.
Strap, I'm asking how many guys from that same, from 2021 to 2024?
It's 2020 through 2023.
Through 2023.
Those are Ron's classes.
How many Eagles are still on their roster they drafted?
I'm
going to
bet it's
compare.
A lot more than six.
I'm going to guess it is too, but I just want context.
Yeah. But it's not that
much
more.
Is it a double?
Oh, I bet it's a lot more than six.
You think it's a lot more? I bet it's like 10.
The average career is 3.5. That's why I'm just trying to put it in context.
Yeah. I mean, we knew Ron ravaged the roster, but that's particularly damning.
But I know that the Eagles hit, most importantly, recently on all of their top picks.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Carter.
Which is big.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah. We missed everywhere. Up, down, in the middle.
Yeah.
All spots. All
right, their last draft wouldn't count in this comparison, which was Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean.
Right.
Let's go to Greg. Greg, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Yes, man. Man, Ron, this place has been a dump for over 20-some years.
Right.
But also understand the most successful teams that this franchise has had have always been a little older. Going from George Allen in the Over the Hill game to Bobby Bethard to Joe Gibbs.
But is that still relevant today? I mean, honestly, I love it. And, but we were winning with journeyman quarterbacks, et cetera, and that's not really a thing these days.
I think it is based on the other. Don't take the quarterback out. Look at the other teams.
Yeah.
If you look at Washington's teams in the past, they were all older. The thing is, the Eagles are outlier because they've drafted well and there have been no dips in their performance.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we got years when your best player on the team prior to Jaden Daniels played with Jay Gruden, which was the wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. That tells you that this place had to be rebuilt. So what he's doing, he's not tying the money up.
Right.
So he can get out of those deals every year. But we got to build the infrastructure of the team. We're not the Eagles.
Right.
And they're sorry to say that, but for what they did last year, it was great that they even was able to compete, and they beat the Eagles.
Right.
No, it was amazing. I mean, they way overshot anybody's expectations of what they would do in 2024.
Yeah. So we gotta understand we can't get back 25 years of futility.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight.
It's not going to be rebuilt in one draft class and one free agency class.
Right. Thanks. Great call, Greg. Thanks. Thank you very much.
I'm looking at a snapshot of last year's average age in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dolphins were the oldest, average age 26.94. They were decent. The Vikings, second oldest. They were good, 26.94. Steelers, good team. They were the third oldest team in the league. Now, the Chiefs were the fourth youngest, and the Eagles were the sixth youngest. I mean, it changes constantly. This is kind of a preseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a correlation. Most of the teams are all within a year and a half, two-year range in terms of average age.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said it before. I agree. It's a case-by-case basis. Like, did you not want to bring back Bobby Wagner? He brings up the average age. Did you not want to bring back Zach Ertz?
Yeah, no, I did.
Those are the guys who are bringing up that average age.
Right. And you're bringing them back on one-year deals.
Yeah, friendly deals for the team. And
you're going to just give another crack at it.
Zach Ertz probably didn't think he'd be making $6.5 or $7 million at this point in his career. It's probably a pretty good deal for Zach Ertz, too.
I think he can make as much as $9 million, right?
Yeah, with incentives. Sure. And it's like, he had a rebound year. He should benefit financially, which he is.
But it may inform you on the draft. So maybe they draft a Bobby Wagner replacement with their first round pick. I'm not convinced.
You don't
that
think
they're
it's
go,
a gaping hole at
I
edge?
I'm not convinced they go edge rusher. I think that they might go best player available. And
it's a very fair assessment. And I will say this. Last year, when Peters drafted, I anticipated different positions every time. I was like, okay,
except
now he's going to go
for a quarterback
here
with the first pick.
Right. But after that, I was like, oh, I thought he'll do this now because we need this.
Yeah.
No, he went down. So
his board
looks
different
than
our boards. Trust me, his board is nowhere near the boards that any of us would put together.
Right, because he doesn't want to do this Band-Aid stuff every year.
Right.
He wants to have talent all across the board, mostly from the draft. Now, they've traded draft picks because they were so under-talented. and they had the cap space and the ability to do it. And they're trying to seize the day, the moment that you've got this rookie contract still for a couple years with Jaden Daniels. And yep. You don't have to give him a big bag of money because
gotta
in about 3 years, they're going to have to give him minimum what Josh Allen got. It's going to be way more than that, actually.
I mean, it's going to be in the $60 to $70 million a year range.
And Josh Allen
is going to keep going up.
Josh Allen said he took a discount.
Right.
A huge $330 million deal. You know what he said? He said, and Cakes would disagree with it. He goes, what do I need another $5 million for? He said, straight up, he goes, I have a house, I have a car, I got a nice life. Mm-hmm. What do I need $5 million for?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I've always said. Like, when you get to a certain amount of money, what difference does it make?
You're comping me to Josh Allen's compensation.
No, just that in your general argument is you're always like saying that there's a difference.
Jason always far-fetched. Is that way, too. Jason is always that way, too. Yeah. That they always will take the most money. And maybe 95% of the time they do. But if you have a certain amount, you don't have to.
No, I'm talking about, I don't think there's a lifestyle shift if you make an extra $10 million, $20 million when you're already at $300.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I think it's less significant.
So to answer the question, I don't know, Cakes, you're usually the biggest ageist here.
Well,
The question, and we put it up as the poll of the day.
Do I think they're too old? No. I like that Adam Peters is taking a measured approach to filling in these gaps, that he's not giving guys 2 and 3 year deals. He sees a 30 or 31 year old. He'll give him the Zach Ertz prove it deal from last year. I like that approach.
I promise you, they have somewhere. Back in the day, it used to be a big whiteboard, but even Rizzo's got them, and they've got every year out there.
Of course.
And they know, okay, we're going to put a 1 year guy here. We're going to have another 1 year guy here. Then we're going to draft. You know what I mean? They're looking at this over 3-4 years.
Chunky's poll of the day brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories, zero carbonation. That means easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in a convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. We just put up that poll. Are they trending too old? It's kind of split. 45-55 right now. You can vote at Junks Radio.
When we come back, we will get into more Commanders. Are we okay with Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler running it back at RB next season? 800-636-1067. We'll talk running back room for the Commanders next here on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.